När vi fick frågan om att starta en podcast om kreativa näringar så var vår spontana reaktion att det vore kul med en utmaning och det här ska vi såklart testa. Men vi ska inte sticka under stolen med att det har varit en hel del utmaningar längs poddens resa. Från att komma på ett namn, lära sig ny utrustning, boka gäster, klippa och mixa podden. Och idag så tar vi ytterligare ett steg att utmana oss med den här podden då vi kommer att köra det här avsnittet på engelska. Vi ska som vanligt göra vårt allra bästa och be om överseende för vår knackiga engelska och om vi inte alltid hittar rätt ord eller formuleringar. Med det sagt, varmt välkommen till Kreativa Norrlands 28:e avsnitt. A warm welcome to Kreativa Norrland and today's episode with me, Matilda Henningsson, and my great friend Oscar Ribi. The purpose of Kreativa Norrland is to highlight all fantastic creators and producers of the culture and creative industries in the northern part of Sweden. We want to share knowledge about these industries and your stories to inspire others to fulfill their dreams of creative businesses. Today's guest is a multidisciplinary artist whose work has been showcased around Sweden and internationally. In 2021, she was given Sparbanksstiftelsen Norrlands konstnärsstipendium, which aims to encourage cultural life in the region. A very warm welcome to Kreativa Norrland, Anastasia Savinova.
Thank you.
Perhaps starting off in another spectrum than art. I read in an article with you that you like mountain hiking. Do you have a favorite place where you like to go hiking?
Yes, I do like mountain hiking, and I liked all the places I hiked, actually, from Swedish mountains in the north to Italian, French, and Swiss Alps. But I would say that my favorite mountain is the mountain that I don't even know the name of. And that is my first mountain in the West Norway. And I think it's special because it's the first. And I keep returning to that mountain quite often.
What is so special with mountain hiking?
Different perspective. The scale. The silence. Physical challenges that help to learn something about the spirit, and it's always transformative in a way, I would say. And it's simply just so gorgeous and beautiful. By walking in the mountains or like in nature, I can experience the greatness of it, something greater than myself. And that's a great feeling, because also I am the audience of this greatness, but at the same time I am the part of this greatness, and that's an incredible feeling.
We're gonna start off with some short questions. So, full name?
Anastasia Savinova.
Age?
34.
How would your best friend describe you?
Caring. Crazy. Thorough. Strong.
I immediately want to know more about the crazy stuff.
The crazy stuff. All this crazy, spontaneous ideas, which I guess the driving force of the art practice that I'm having.
Where would you describe as home?
I can say that I'm currently based in Umeå, but to be honest, I don't know where my home is yet. I think this is something I have to figure out and see.
So what is creativity for you?
Creativity is a transformation. It is turning the ordinary into special. It is making unnoticed noticed and making unknown a little bit more known. And also it's a transformation of ideas, meanings, thoughts, ideas into matter, an image, an object.
You were born near the Ural Mountains in 1988, and 2013 you moved to Sweden and is now working from here. So when and from where did you get the interest in art?
I would say I got it from life. It sounds big, I know. As far as I remember myself, I have been doing something, let's call it creative, yeah. So I guess as all the kids, I was drawing and doodling. And from very early age, I started to visit various workshops for kids. I think I was 2. I'm not really sure, but my grandma always says, oh, you were so little, you were, I think I was 2. And since then I kept doing this. So it was all sort of things starting from classical drawing, painting, also dance, clay sculpting, wood carving, burner pen, drawing on wood, soft toy, sewing. And I was also making my own clothes and bags and decoration for the interior. So I think it's this constant process. So like I was making installation in the forest or on the beaches. So it's like this way of living in the world.
And then you got into architecture later on.
That's true. Yes, I went to the architectural university. It was called the University of Architecture and Civil Engineering. And that's the university where all my relatives on mother line were studying. So that's a long tradition of the builders in the family. But I was not a builder. So I went to this architectural design class. Mm-hmm. Simply because I think in that age I didn't know that art could be a profession. I would never think that it's a profession. So if like you would ask me as a kid who you want to become, I would never say an artist because I didn't know that it is something you become, that it is something you can learn to be. So of course I was more kind of raised in this idea that profession is something else, something more practical. But I think that this architecture/design school, it gave a lot of skill and knowledge that I'm still using in my art practice.
So how would you describe your art practice?
Diverse, multidisciplinary, intuitive, experimental sometimes. And also it's, I don't really want to define it very clearly because I don't know where it's going. After every project, I'm feeling, oh, I don't know what's next. And I'm curious myself to wait and see what comes next. And I guess every next step is similar to the previous one. So I'm not like radical, but it's still, it's not like I have those plans many years ahead, what I will be doing and how my practice will look like. So for now, I am focused on sculptures and objects more than other things. But I'm maybe in a few years it will go back to performance more. I don't know.
And I know this is probably hard, but since we're in a podcast and we use sound as the first media, if you would try to describe some of your work that you are doing now with the sculpturing thing, can we like draw a picture with words?
Yes, absolutely. I can talk about maybe the most recent work and about the work I'm making currently. So the most recent work was a sound sculpture installation, and that was made in a collaboration with a musician, John Andrew Velheit Heinesdal from Norway. Visually, it was a monumental installation with three hanging large sculptures made from the real old wooden boats that we found in the area. So it was the north of Norway, around Kirkenes. I put those boats like together, so they look like a giant aquatic animal body. And those bodies are swinging in the space, and they also have fish eggs, but they're like in large scale, and they are made from glass net floats that are also old. They've been found in ocean. They were produced in the 19th and 20th century, and they still are floating in the ocean. Sometimes people find them and sell. So we have those piles of fish eggs spread on the floor, and also some of those fish eggs are coming from the fish bodies. And every fish is turned into a giant speaker by like this special technology that is called transducers or exciters. They turn the surface into a speaker. So they vibrate and they have voices, and those voices are sound of codfish mating rituals.
Mm-hmm.
So cool. there is a years of research behind this project as well. We also collaborated with this marine biologist, Rebecca Umen, who is dedicating her life to codfish.
Cool. So can you see this work now? Is it public yet? Or
It was public, but it's not anymore. It's going to be on show in June in Harstad in Norway. And my current work is a sculptural installation for Odenplan metro station in Stockholm. So it's going to be a sort of a big vitrine on a podium. And I'm working on about 12, 15 sculptures made from materials found in or near water. So it's, again, this theme of working with found objects.
I'm very interested in the process from a first idea to a finished project. Is there any specific process that you follow? Or
I think it starts with finding a material. So, for example, in the project I described with these boats, the first idea came to me like 4 years ago when I was working a lot with found materials, and I was making those hybrid sculptures, but in smaller scale. And I was looking at everything in the environment as if it was a material, because anything could become a part of the work. And it was then when I saw this older wooden boats laying on along the river here in Umeå. And I thought, oh, I want to have those two boats and make this hanging piece as well, like a big one. So I was working on installation with smaller pieces, and I thought it would be a separate work. And I was trying to find the owners of those boats. I was posting on Instagram, like asking friends, asking some boat societies in town whose boats they were. Then I found a woman who owns one of those boats, but she said, no way I can give it to you because I come here to meditate and it's a special spot for me. So it didn't happen 4 years ago because I didn't have enough resources or like time to find the proper material. But this idea, I guess like good ideas stay with you, or like ideas you really want to accomplish. So a few years later, when I was put together with this sound artist by some curators in Kirkenes, this idea resurfaced, and luckily that was also the place with plenty of fishing boats, and we had resources to and time to find the owners to bring those boats in the house. And also then I realized it was more difficult, much more difficult than I thought. It's nearly impossible to make it alone because of the size of the object and the weight of it. So I got technical support. And that's maybe returning to what I said about being crazy. So like I think it's on the border with naive, crazy and naive, you know, thinking that things can just work out. And eventually they do work out. So it's often for me that I see a color or shape or material and I touch it, I hold it, and I want to work with this. So it often comes from there, but also sometimes it's different and it just comes from I don't know where, this, you know, like emptiness, darkness, I don't know, this place within, and it's just, you know, like you have a blank page and something happens. So it's two different approaches for me, I think. One is like when something real, something in the world sparks the idea, and the other one is more like something within, which is harder to describe, unfortunately.
So your work, it spans from photography to collage to drawing to text to video to sound and to performance and sculpture, right? So I think you prefer sculpture right now because, or you're in that phase, but is this also like different moods or different ideas that comes to life, or do you just like to work in different materials and aspects?
I think lately I've been mostly focused on the ecologies and the relationship of human and more than human world. So I'm interested in all this connectedness in the world and how we are related to something that is greater than us. For example, mountains, water, forest, and so on. So I wouldn't say that it's like different themes or different moods. It's more or less constant mood in the works. My earlier work is more focused on the architectural environment, this collage work. And it started back when I was still studying at the architectural school. So it was kind of a natural transition between art design, art and design. But this performative sculptural project, they are all kind of related to this. Human nature relationship.
And that was also the motivation from Sparbankstiftelsen Norrlands konstnärsstipendium, that your artwork is described to explore the relationship between man and nature. And what is it that you find so fascinating about this relationship?
I think in nature we can discover this greatness I was talking about earlier. And the way it makes us human feel. In my work, I want to bring this feeling that I could feel myself being in nature, this wild, primal energy. And I hope that by looking at my work, by experiencing my work, people could also go to those places within. So I think it's not necessarily about the external beauty of it. It's also about how it makes us feel, how it makes us belong.
We were talking about how to get art accessible, or what that is when art is accessible. And you had a really nice explanation about your grandmother. Would you like to tell us that one?
Yes. So what I meant by accessible is that I can speak about complex things, complex concepts, in a way, a simple way that would be understood by my 88 years old grandmother. So when she understands and when she gets it, I feel that I made a successful, my help for her to enter the work was a success.
And as you say, you don't have to lower the quality of the art, but if you do it in a way and describe it in a way that everybody can access it, then it's very inclusive in that sense.
And it's also, then it will be more rewarding for an artist, because then you can have more people who are on the same page with you. Like, you can talk about this with more people. You can see response in more people.
There's been research on societies when they have a lot of art within the societies, that the societies are more prospering in the sense that there are less criminality, more people are feeling satisfied with the society and stuff like that. And we talked earlier about what you want to bring to the world and what you would like people to experience. Do you think that your art has kind of that like higher purpose?
I want to think that. I think every artist wants to believe that art will, you know, change something. But, and I think it does, as you said, like, people feel differently if they're surrounded by art. And I believe that in the contemporary world, artists, as many centuries before, they still are those shamans in the society, in a way, because maybe of this kind of a little bit higher sensitivity to the world. We sense something, and we, in our work, we try to translate this. So that's, I guess, what shamans do as well, in a way.
If you look back on all your projects, is there any particular project that you are more proud about, and in this case, which one and why?
I think it's always the most recent project because I'm trying to make every new work a little bit better than the other. Or maybe it's just this subjective thing. It's like the youngest baby, yeah. And I love it the most, you know? So for now, it's that project I talked about recently with the boat sculptures with voices. Also because it's the most monumental work to date, and it's the most complex on many levels, on conceptual level and on the technical level. It has been a challenging process, and I had to work with other people, which is not always the case in my practice, because I often work alone. So I would say that in this moment, when you ask me this question, I would say it's that project that I'm most proud of by now. And also, now when I think more about it, it's a lot of work that I'm quite proud of. There was this outdoor piece that I made a year ago on the Ume River, and it also was challenging to make it, and nobody actually believed that I would make it because it was like a really short time before the exhibition, and the ice didn't melt yet, and everyone was like, we need to exclude it from the catalog, you're not gonna make it. There were few people who were like, I don't know how, but I know that you will make it. So I was somewhere else for other project, and I arrived on the day of the opening. It was the opening at Bildmuseet, and I had some other works inside the museum. But I also had this plan to make this outdoor piece, and almost everything was ready, but I couldn't install it because of ice. So I flew from Oslo, and I was here like at 12, and the opening was at 6. So between those times, I installed the piece in the water because almost all the ice was gone by then. It was some chunks of ice, but...
And it was supposed to stand on the ice.
It was floating. It was floating on river. It was a text, like big letters. It was floating on water, so I had to anchor them so they don't float away. And I can say I'm quite proud of that work because it was almost impossible. And I think it's important to do something almost impossible, you know, like going a little deeper than I think I can.
If you look ahead, is there any project that you dream on to take on, or?
I'm excited to work more on public art projects and make something permanent. So far, all my public works were temporary, which is also nice because you don't have all this pressure of permanence. And I like impermanence of the things. But I think it will be very challenging for me to work with something permanent, something that will stay for centuries, hopefully. it's a huge responsibility, and it's something new, something that I want to explore.
Where do you see yourself and your artwork in 10 years?
First of all, I want to make good work, whatever it means, better work that I'm making. I would like to work both with museums, making those installations, and also with public art. So I don't want to, you know, like switch to one area. So it's like I want to have it all, basically, to work inside the museums and also outside or in the contexts of the metro stations. It's quite nice. It's not like I've been dreaming about this, but now when I think about it, it's pretty cool. So I just want to keep going, to have good health to do this, to just keep going. And I know if you don't stop, something beautiful happens. A dream is to be able to keep working.
Anastasia Sabinova, thank you for joining Kreativa Norrland.
Thank you so much for having me.